Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, thank you for letting us be here this Sunday. If it is your will, please let us learn more about you today here in church. Lord, since it is the month of December, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Lord, please let us be able to see that day. And Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us thus far. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you. The humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation. God bless the Christmas morn.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Jesus Christ, who has reigned.
And again. Amen, but it's a beautiful talking about praise the Father and praising the Son. And Corey says, "Well, Dad, I'm really kind of older now. I said, "But you're a helper, and you're helping to direct the kids." Amen. So I thank God for her obedience. Sometimes you're voluntold. Amen. And I thank God for my wife. Amen. Truly, I want to let her know I love her. Amen. Don't always tell her. But I want to let her know that I'm serious. And I just thank God for her. Amen. And how about little Harmony? Amen. Thank God. She said, amen. She got that. She gets that from Deacon Scott, her grandfather. But all of our children, every single last one of them. Amen. We thank God for them all. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you can turn your attention to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. How did you guess? Beginning at the 5th chapter. We'll begin reading at the 12th verse. And it reads, "I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Man, but if you bite, if you devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of another. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Amen. Variance is contentions. Emulations is jealousies, wrath, amen, and strife, which is selfish ambition. We're going to talk about that. And dissensions, which is heresies, which means cliques in the church. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, of such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are worthy of all of the glory. You are worthy of all of the honor and the praise. God, we thank you for this time that we can come together and sit attentive to your word of God. God, and we pray that, Lord, you just, first of all, crucify me. Lord, I bind and rebuke any tangents or anything that will cause me to drift from your word. God, that we will be tentative to the Spirit and what the Spirit is speaking, even to the church. So, God, we come against any distraction, oh God, or anything that's an attack or a raid against the knowledge of who you are. I'm just your feeble servant. No power of my own. To know that, God, it's not by my power. It's not by my might. But it's by your Spirit, save the Lord. Have your way in me. Handle me in the name of Jesus. That I won't speak anything that's contrary to the Spirit of your word. God, speak to us. Oh God, just declare the hearts fertile ground that your word will go out with unction and power to deliver, loose, and set free. Even to the person in this place that may not know you in the pardon of their sins. God, we pray that your word will break through the barriers, the steel girds of the heart, to speak to that thing, to speak to that, Lord, the inside of somebody that's crying out in desperation that needs you. God, we love you, and we bless you, and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name, and for its sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Thank God for just who he is. And although we started this service a little bit late, and how fitting, if we're going to start late, it's because of the Sunday school play that was a blessing. But seriously, we don't want to be leaving out no later than what we normally do. So I'm praying to just be obedient to the Spirit. Amen. And we've been in Galatians and we're back here again. And for those looking for a Christmas message, this is the Christmas message. Amen. The word of God. And to know that, and it was funny. The title that I have is going to be the same title as last week or the week before last, which was Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. The Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. And if I could give it a subtitle, it would be The World Must See a Difference in Us. Amen. Amen. The world must see a difference in us. That would be the subtitle I would give it. And I just thank God. Amen. And I'm, listen, guess what? I don't come to pump nobody up. We can't pump anybody up. We can't even pump ourselves up. If anybody's going to get glory through this priest's word, or if anybody gets glory in this place, all glory goes to God. All boasting is for God. It's the Lord that exalts. It's the Lord that humbles. And I thank God that yesterday I had a chance to go to a place where I usually buy some stuff from. It's a store, something like a store. And when I went there to this place, I've gone there a couple times. They know me. They know of me. They know me there a little bit. But sometimes it's different women working in the place. And you may get somebody you know, you may get somebody you don't know. Well, when I went in there, this person that was in there found out that there was a person that I know, that knows me, and I know them. That's all they know. That's all they know. And that person, it happens to go to this church. And so when I'm talking and conversing with this person, they say, do you know such and such? I say, yeah, I know such and such. And this person went on and on and on about such and such. Now, I'm trying not to let the cat out the bag and let y'all know who this person is. Amen. Because who the person is, it really doesn't matter. But what matters is this person lives a life that glorifies God. Come on. Amen. And guess what? This person, when I was talking to this person, they didn't know that this person even goes to church. They didn't know that this person goes to the same church as me. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't know this person's position in the church. But all they knew is this person. And the person I was talking to don't even really profess to be a churchgoer herself. I don't even know if this person is a Christian herself. The person I was talking to. But she lit up when we started talking about this person. And the fruit of the spirit that this person possesses. And that's why we can say, and the reason why I'm not saying this person's name, amen, that's somebody trying to guess. Somebody's trying to guess who this person is, but I'm still not going to tell you. But it's something how when we talk about the world must see a difference in us, I'm telling y'all, we have the light that the world needs to see. Amen. We have the fruit of the spirit that the world needs to see. Amen. And when you look at just, I'm not going to get into the destruction of this world or the demise of this world or the darkness of this world or the strife and the hatred and the perversion. Not going to get into it, but we have the answer, y'all. What the world needs to see, and that's the light of Jesus Christ that lives on the inside. Amen. Guess what? That we ought not be, we ought not have to lead with, oh, I'm such and such, I'm pastor, or I'm preacher, or I'm deacon, or I'm an usher, or I'm this. We ought not have to lead with our titles. We all have no, all not have to lead with what church we belong to. We all not have to lead with what ministry we're a part of. But there ought to be something about our conversation. There ought to be something about our speech. There ought to be something about the love that we possess, the joy that we possess, the peace that we possess, the kindness and the gentleness, whether you know it or not, those are the fruits of the Spirit that we possess. Because thank God, the fruit of the Spirit is not of us, but the fruit of the Spirit is all about Christ. And it's Christ's life that lives through us. And guess what? When I left that store, when I went into that place, amen, it was like an example set before me. And it made me beg the question, how do people see me? And I'm going to ask y'all the question, how do people see you? Amen. On your job, in your home, in the places that you go, in the schools, or wherever it is, how do people perceive you? Amen. And it just, listen, is the light of Christ permeating and just manifesting itself through you? Or are they just seeing you and the manifestation of your flesh? Amen. And I'm telling you, I thank God, because it's not of us, not of works, for by grace are we saved, through faith, not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. Amen. Hey, guess what, y'all? Guess what? I'm a little different, right, Mom? My mom, my sister, my other sister, I'm a little different, but I am who I am. And guess what? Deacon Manning, y'all should have heard Deacon Manning this morning. Amen. He is who he is. Mother Hattie, Mother Ophelia. Amen. All of our mothers, they are who they are. But the difference is Christ leading your life. Come on. Everybody don't have to be like me in personality. But there's something about the love of Christ and the manifest fruit of love that permeates even my personality. That people see something, they see a mark. Or they didn't see you with your lip poked out. With your mean self. What do they see? How do they perceive you? And guess what, y'all? When I'm stretched out here in the church, amen, I don't want to be known for the preacher. Somebody might say, boy, you, Mother Hattie told me one time in the old church, she said, you're getting better. Amen. I don't want to be known to my children. They don't see my preaching.
Come on.
But my children see my living. And we've got to be known for our lives and how we live. And whether or not Christ is permeating his life through us. And y'all, this Christmas season, I got one word for you. Or one statement for you. That's why we got to die to ourselves. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it what? Brings forth what? Much fruit. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit that we can't possess. And see, in this church, legalism, amen, was, man, this church was just attacked by the devil. And the spirit of legalism and the law that wanted to add to their salvation works and what you need to do to add to your faith that you can earn it. Amen. And we look at this word legalism, it's external behavior based relying on self because of a desire to gain a reputation, display a skill, or satisfy an urge to personal power. The most widespread form of legalism in the Christian church is the flesh. Amen. Trying to do something before God which will be accepted, acceptable to him. And I'm telling you, and a lot of times we listen, and I'm telling y'all, listen. God has broken my heart to letting me know that it's so easy. Because we think about these terms, legalism and the law. And thank God for the word that was preached last week by Minister Tober, I'm telling you, who just went back to the Old Testament looking at the life of Abraham and looking at the covenants, the covenant of Moses that was given to Moses versus the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that was given to Abraham. And y'all, guess what? God never wanted a robotic religion.
That's right.
Y'all know that? He never wanted a religion where it's do as I say. He never wanted a religion, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt.
That's right.
But he wanted a relationship with us.
That's it.
Amen. And I thank God for Deuteronomy, I believe it's the 7th chapter, that he says it's not because you were more in number. It's not because you were so special. Amen. But Christ, God has laid his eyes on you. It's because of my love. And that's what God wants. He wants a love relationship with us. That we will obey him because we love him. Not obey him because of the wrath. Not obey him because of the consequences. Because I'm in love with Jesus Christ, I'm going to obey him. And I thank God for Paul. Amen. It was like just, man, God, the love of Christ was turned up in him. And I'm telling you, and it's so easy to start doing things out of emotion, to start doing things out of obligation, to start doing things, amen, out of trying to please God or trying to earn God. And so when we hear these legalistic terms and we think, well, that's not me. It is us. Anytime we try to do things out of self instead of relationship. Amen. And we said it. There was a demonic intention to keep these folks held under bondage. Amen. There was a demonic intention to keep them held under the law. Amen. And that's why he says in Galatians 2 and 4, and what? And that because of false brethren, unawares, had brought in, they came in privately to spy out our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that they may bring us for the intent. And see, listen, it's one thing if somebody does something just ignorantly or they really don't know. But it's another thing if somebody does something with the specific intent. That's how you know there was a demonic influence. It was a demonic intent of the devil to spy out that he could render this church powerless. He wanted to render them powerless. Amen. And so if I get the works in there and I start talking about we be of Abraham's seed and the law and doing things in your own effort and doing things in your own power, guess what? I will render this church powerless. I will render these marriages powerless. I will render the young adults powerless. Amen. Because the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. For it's not subject to the things of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus. And so what Satan is saying, man, I want to keep them. Listen, I don't want to bring them from under religion. Uh-huh. I want to keep them in religion. But also want to keep them working in flesh. And the flesh cancels out grace. Amen. Amen. And listen, and that's what the enemy's intent. Listen, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Had they known what was going to happen, but that Jesus Christ was going to die, loose the power of sin, declare victory over the grave. Amen. Take the sting out of death, for the strength of sin is the law. Amen. And if they knew what Christ was going to do, if they knew the power that was going to be afforded to his children, that one could teach 1,000. And that too could put 10,000 to a flight. Come on. Because the devil, if he had known the power that's going to be afforded to us when Jesus Christ died on that cross, that he was going to give us the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And you think about everybody that you're connected to, everybody that comes into contact you, my wife, my children, my co-workers, my friends, my family, my extended family. If he had known the power that was going to be afforded to bring down generational curses, come on. To come against territorial spirits, to come against habitual sin and anger and attitudes and all these things that were going to be afforded to us, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so he said, that's done. That's already in the bag. So I'm going to join that church. And I'm going to make it be about works in the flesh. Because I want to render them powerless. Amen. Amen. And it's the cross. And when we look in our text, and we're going to get there, verse 24 says of our text, and they that are of Christ have what? Crucified the flesh and the affections of its lust. Amen. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. We glory in the cross. And what Christ did at the cross, Peter was rendered powerless when he tried to operate out of the flesh. when Jesus had told him, "Who do you men say that I am?" And this is how fickle this flesh is. This is how fickle that we can be. And I'm always preaching about Peter because guess what? Whether you know or not, I see myself in Peter. And some of you all see yourself in Peter. Maybe you're not Peter, but you're Peter. Maybe you're not Peter, but you're Peterline. I don't know, I'm just, my kids said, "Dad." Caleb be like, I get around their friends come around the house. Caleb be like this. Amen, I can't relate. Amen. But guess what? That's the old nature. In 1 minute, Peter said, blessed are you, because Peter had confessed who he was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the next moment, guess what? Jesus, he said, blessed are thou, for because flesh and blood has not given you that, but the Spirit of God has revealed to you who I am. And then a few verses later, Jesus Christ was rebuking Peter. And y'all, that's us. That's me. That's my life. One day I start off on the good foot. Not James Brown good foot. Amen. Man, I start the day off right. Then the next thing you know, somebody does something. Somebody says something. Somebody doesn't speak. Or something like that. And then here come the thoughts. And then when the thoughts start swirling, guess what? Your actions will follow. And that's why he told Peter, he said, if any man come after me, he must first what? Deny himself. Take up his what? Cross. And follow me every single day. Amen. And so when we talk about the church and we talk about the danger of legalism and how we can hang on to our efforts of the flesh, right? And how we can continue to operate and do things and go through the motions and it still be works, it still be us. The source of ministry in here, the source of my life, it's got to be Christ. Amen. And when you look at my first point is, what is the source of your service? What is the source of your service? Is it the Spirit or is it you? And there's a fine line between operating out of the Spirit versus operating out of the flesh. And the reason why Satan had the best of both worlds, because they were religious. They had the very appearance of having this thing all together, but of no power. Somebody say no power.
No power.
No power to satisfy, to crucify this flesh. And I thank God, amen, there was a preacher named John Wesley, popular preacher. And he said this, before he got saved, these were the things he did. He was the son of a preacher man. He was orthodox in belief, faithful in morality, full of good works. He did ministry in prisons, sweatshops, and the slums. He gave good food to the poor, clothing, and educated the poor kids in orphanages. He observed both Saturday and Sunday. Just in case you say the Sabbath is on Saturday, I got both of them down pat. Uh-huh. Amen. Reminds me of Paul. Amen. Good stock, born on the air, circumcised on the eighth day, of Benjamin, of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. Studied under Gamaliel, did the best things. Amen. Under the Jewish customs. But he said, all those things I counted as dung, that I might win Christ. Yep. And then John Wesley goes on to say, he sailed from England to the American colonies to be a missionary. He studied his Bible. He prayed. He fasted. And he gave regularly. Yet in all this time, he said, I was bound bound in chains under my own religious efforts because he trusted in what he could do to make himself right before God instead of trusting in what Jesus Christ had done for him. He did all these things before he was saved. And that's why, y'all, we can be religious and lost. Peter, we see the instability of Peter. We see the shakiness of Peter. And thank God for Paul. After he affirmed his authority with the apostles. And then to be able to rebuke Peter to the face. He said, why are you being a Jew or challenging or moving from the Gentiles? You're supposed to be ministering and preaching to the Gentiles. And Barnabas moved with him. And you're bringing him back under bondage. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And guess what, y'all? You can do all those things and be off because the motive of your heart is wrong. And I know it might not make much difference to you guys. Y'all see me up here on this pulpit. Man, I'm telling you, I was all over the place. But one thing God spoke to my heart. When we talk about this first point, what is the source of your service? God had me to examine my motive. What is your motive? And sometimes we can get on automatic and cruise control in the church. And our motive be off. And guess what, y'all? If my motive is off, then I'm no longer doing it under the power of the cross. But I'm doing it under the power of Randy. What does your motive look like? Think about what you do. Working in the food pantry. Serving on the deacon board. Ushering, singing in the choir. Amen. What does your motive look like? What does your motive look like? Why do you do what you do? And any great person or leader or whoever will examine why is it we do what we do. And you'll be shocked when you really get down personally that you can find that your motive is off. Amen. Listen, and that's why, listen, I'm going to skip way ahead here. That's why when we look at Aaron, right, and we look at Moses and how they were called by God, amen, in this danger of legalism, we can hang out on your efforts and the spirit be put to the side and we're doing it out of the old man. Why? Because there's a fine line between serving the Lord and my strength and the Lord's strength. I can do some things, good things in the church, seriously. But all along, it's me that's doing it. And y'all know what it is? It's a stench to God in his nostrils. Because it's not me. It's not him. It's amen. It's works doing it. And I thank God for Numbers chapter 3. I'm telling y'all, we're gonna be closing out. Numbers chapter 17, verse 3. Right? There were those that were defiant to Moses. The spirit of Korah. They were disobedient. And the first thing they said was, who made y'all the boss? Who put you guys in charge? Amen. And there was one instance where the ground opened up. And swallow that defiant spirit. Amen. And then there were those that even after that, they saw what had happened, but they still questioned the authority of Moses and Aaron. And chapter 17, verse 3, it says, and thou shalt write Aaron's name on a rod. And every head of the tribe give a rod. And we're going to write their names on it. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. That should have told you something right there. God is meeting with this man face to face. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod. For each prince, one gave him one rod, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods of the Lord of the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses went to the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and it brought forth fruit and blossom, and yielded almonds, while nobody else's rod blossomed. Amen? And we see here that Aaron's rod had sprouted, budded, blossomed, produced ripe almonds. And sprouted buds. It brought forth flowers of fruit. There was a clear distinction of the manifest power of God in his life. Amen? And guess what? You notice Aaron didn't have to beat his chest and tell him God had called him. He didn't have to prove anything. And guess what, y'all? Now, this is more referring to the call of Aaron. But I'm talking to you as the call of the sons of Jesus Christ. That the Bible says, and listen, we're going to turn to John 15. Amen, John 15. When we talk about this fruit, right? John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the what? Husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot what? Bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. And guess what, y'all? This John chapter 15 gets sweeter and sweeter to me every year. Because it lets me know, God, y'all, we don't have to work or strain or try to live this life. But all we have to do is submit to the vine. We've got to submit to the vine.
That's right.
Amen. The vine ain't got to try. And what we want to do, we want to circumvent. When we don't want to deal with the stuff in our life, the sin in our life, but we want to go around dealing with it and come in the church and do great works in the church, we're not abiding in the vine. Because abiding in the vine is about submission and subjection.
Come on.
Amen? You submit to the vine. That means you yield. You say, I yield, I yield. Amen? Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must first deny himself. I'm going to keep repeating it. Call me broken record Randy. Take up his cross. We got to take up our cross. And there's one word that I want you to write down. It's a word called examination.
Come on.
It's examination. Because there's some things that can hinder us from abiding in the vine. There's some things that can stop us from being submissive and subjective to the word of God. Listen, and when you think about Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God, he was the word of God. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. That was also where? In Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
That thought of not robbery to be made what? Equal with God. But he made himself of what? No reputation. Uh-huh. Took upon him the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of a man. And he humbled himself. Yeah. He was the Word of God. He was the creator of this world. But the Bible says he humbled himself. Amen. He was the first and the last. He was the beginning and the end. He was Alpha and Omega. But he humbled himself. And the Bible says he became obedient even to the death of the cross. He submitted to the Father, y'all. And guess what? Our submission to the Father is the most liberating, exhilarating thing we can do. Because when we submit to the Father, guess what? He works his life. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm getting all excited. I'm yelling and changing my voice. Amen. I just love this Word of God. Y'all, we've got to die to ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to be obedient to the death of the cross, even as Jesus Christ submitted himself. And greater than him dying on the cross in the garden, he said, let not my will, but thy will be done. He was obedient to the death. He was obedient first. Before he died. Amen. I try to remain calm. And I try to remain sane up here. But when I think about this love, the fact that a holy God would give up his only son, he felt that pain. The Father felt the pain. Amen. We can get excited over the game and excited over Joel Embiid. And we can jump up and me and Caleb and Joey in the house and yell for Jalen Hurts beating the Dallas Cowboys or beating the Giants or beating Washington Redskins. And some of us, when we got into the party back in the day, we was the loudest thing coming. They could hear us coming down the block and the party didn't get started till you got there. But all of a sudden, we want to sit down on this man called Jesus. We want to sit down on the Word of God. Amen. When you know that, you know that, you know that he loved me. They pulled out his beard, put spikes in his head, put a spear in his side, put nails in his hand. He loved you from the everlasting, from the beginning of time. He loved me. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. He loves me. And it's a relationship that we have with him. When you think about how much he loves you, when you think about what manner of love is this, that the Father, that he will call me a son, that he will call you a daughter, regardless of what people think of you, regardless of what the internet says, regardless of what Cosmopolitan says, regardless of what people want to have you shaking stuff and wearing tight stuff and trying to show everybody, you got to know he loves you. You don't got to worry about people gives you likes. Jesus gives you likes. When you read this word, Jesus. Be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why young girls, young boys, why he came to love me so, but I'm so glad that he looked past my faults and he saw my needs. I'll never know why he loved me so much, but I'm so glad that one day he heard my cry and pity every groan. As long as I live, when trouble rise, I'm going to hasten to his throne. The Bible says, lift up your heads, all the gates, and be lifted up the everlasting door. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord! We got crazy.
in the world for somebody that did not want us. We got crazy. But here Christ comes. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and of heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest! Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And somebody think I'm done. I got news, I'm not done. Amen. Back in our text, I'm almost done though. Amen. Yo, I'm crazy. I'm a fool for Jesus. You know that? And we see people just losing their mind over stuff. I'm wrapped up, tied up, and I'm tangled up in this love. And so in our text here, and I'm almost done, he says, then I say, walk in the Spirit, that you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, and I just said it, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I'm almost done. And the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these two are what? Contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But guess what, y'all? If you be led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. And so what he says, stand fast therefore in 5:1. In the liberty where Christ has set you free. Be not entangled again. Where? In the yoke of bondage. Yo, I've been liberated. I've been loose. I've been set free. Listen, guess what? So what? Somebody did something to you. Somebody looked at you the wrong way. That's why every day we've got to take up this cross. And those secret things, that you deal with the secret, you'll deal with the sickness. Things that grandmother told you to sweep under the rug. Or maybe your mother or your father walked out. Or whatever the situation is, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Be not entangled again into the yoke of bondage. There ought to be an examination. And the way of examination, my second point is, and then I'm going to be done. I'm going to be out your way. Listen. It's the word. Word examination, not the word. Word examination must rake us through the cross. Amen. It's word examination. The Bible says, let the meditation of your heart, let the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word is what? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner even of the intents of my heart. So when I ask you all the question, what is the source of your service? Because if the source of our service is, and guess what? And I'm a pastor, and I've done stuff out of, oh man, let me just help this person. And the Lord be like, you ain't got time to help this person. You need to go study my word. But I want to check some kind of box on the list. I feel like I got to go to the extra visitation room to visit this person, see this person. And I try to be everybody's hero. And God has not called me to be everybody's hero. Because guess what? If I can't get intimate in that closet, and I don't care if it's a good motive. You can have a good motive. I know good people. But good people don't mean saved people. Genuine people don't mean saved people. You've got to be saved. Amen. The road to hell was paved with what? Good intentions. And I have good intentions. But God lets me know. They're not my intentions. They're your intentions. And he has to rake my heart over the coals of the cross, that cross will slay me and examine me. And when he shows me my heart, and when it says here, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another. That's the battle, y'all. That's the battle right there. That's the battle that Peter lost that day. The flesh started speaking. That's the battle that David lost when he should have been with his men, watching Bathsheba take a bath. That's the battle that we can look back and we see where men lost. But thank God for Joseph. We see where he won this battle. Amen. She tried to get his coat. He said, feet don't fail me now. Amen. That's the battle. And the works, and listen, and out of all these fruits of the lust of the flesh, right, that are manifest, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, those are like sexual sins. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Amen. Variance is contentions, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. That means cliques in the church. So verse 20 is more about witchcraft and divisions. Amen. And verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings. Of such I tell you before. And this word in verse 20, strife, for. In verse 20, strife, that means selfish ambition. And selfish ambition is alive and well in the church. Wanting to be recognized. Wanting somebody to call your name. Want to make sure you were counted and somebody saw you. What is your motive? All of us, leaders, people in the church, we have to examine our motive. Amen. Because if my motive isn't right, guess what? The power of God to work through me is shut down. But guess what, y'all? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to try to be annoying. You know, some people can be annoying. And they can love you anyway, like sometimes I'm annoying to my wife. And I'll be talking, she'd be trying to sleep. I'll be talking to her. And I tell her, because I love you. Amen. But this love, this fruit of the Spirit, guess what, y'all? For without me, you can do nothing. He says, abide in the vine. Amen. Abide in the vine. You are the branch. I am the vine. Amen. And he says here, and man, my pages, it's stuck together. Man, I'm in Luke. You are the branches. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He purges it. Hallelujah. He purges it. That it may bring forth more fruit. That's the revelation that I had about doing stuff out of trying to be a hero. God has not called me to be the hero. I can't meet everybody's needs and everybody's requests. And if I'm not in the word, I'm no good to anybody else. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Amen. It's got to be Christ coming through that vine. And he says, love. You can love your enemies, regardless if they love you in return. You can have joy when you've died to yourself. And sometime, man, I'll get an epiphany. Anybody ever get that? Man, you've been going through praying and studying, coming through the Galatians, and all of a sudden you'll have a day where man is like the spirit. hear the power of God is just turned up in your life. You'll be singing, ain't nothing good to sing about. You'll be speaking to people, talking to people, loving people. Man, you'll even see your enemy walk past. And you'll be just like, man, what's the problem? Ain't no more chains holding me. I love you. I love you. And guess what? There ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm going to love you anyway. And I'm not talking about just a spiteful kind of, you know, smart aleck love. No, a genuine love. That person be like, man, what in the world got a hold of him? Man, it's like a beam me up Scotty kind of love. But I have zero enemies in my life. And you got to examine yourself to see sometimes it's us holding stuff. Mother Robinelle, the joy that I had. Guess what? The world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away because it's coming from the vine. It's coming from the true vine. Jesus Christ, the peace that I have that passes all understanding. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Through what? Prayer and supplication. Supplication. My earnest plea with thanksgiving to let my request be made known unto God. And the peace, that's Christ. Love is Christ. Joy is Christ. We don't get fruits, S. We get the fruit, Jesus. Amen. We don't go to get more love, more peace, more joy, more long-suffering, more this, more that. But we get more of Jesus Christ coming through the vine, coming through this word, when you've meditated on it. And it's like, man, I am somewhere else right now. Deep in this word, hiding this word, meditating on this word. And my father was sitting at the table one time, eating, putting the food in his mouth, but he was lost in translation. Has anybody ever been there? I went out to Court Creek Park, just sat in my car for 2 hours, just meditating on this word. And it's like this word grew hands and came out and just hugged on me and loved on me. Then it picked up a mirror and showed me myself. I'm gonna have to work from home more often. Amen. God is good, church. He's a strong tower in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Regardless of my state, regardless of the storm. Matter of fact, the storm can still be there. But man, he'll turn the fruit up in your life. Give you peace in a turbulent world. Give you patience and long suffering that you can be with somebody and have some put up with grace and have some shut up grace at the same time. Gentleness when you're dealing with some rough people. Goodness when you're dealing with some mean people. Faith is also a fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place as we stand to our feet. And they that are Christ, apostrophe S, thank God for Minister Tober, talking about our belonging, have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. And I know I might seem a little crazy up here. Right? Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. And this thing, I didn't even have my coffee this morning. I'm telling you, when they walk and talk with this word of God, and they met it, and he began to explain the scriptures and open them up. They said, did not our hearts burn? I don't care if you are in college. I don't care if you're still in high school. Look at these men in the Bible that hid this word and stood on this word. And I heard them saying in men's class yesterday, man, we were just looking at each other. And somebody said, man, I think it was Brother Jim. He said, it's a natural high. This word of God, this love of Christ is a natural high. And guess what? When I'm exposed to this word, I'm telling you, anything in my heart that I'm going through, even things in the past, in the mind, it pales in comparison to this love of Jesus Christ. And I bid you, if there's somebody here and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, you can accept them into your heart. Is there one that would like to give your life to Jesus Christ? You can come right now and accept them into your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Amen.